They say there's no such thing as a free lunch. They say you get out of it in accordance to what you put into it. They say if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. Today, let's turn everything they say upside down.
And talk about what we can get for nothing, undeserved, without even asking. Today, let's talk about love. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on the journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website, where you can sign up for the link and get all sorts of important information about life within the congregation and in the broader community. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way has meaning for you. We have the playground down front, we have lovingly staffed nursery care, and we have Sunday school after the word for all ages today. Next Sunday, we start summer worship. Worship will move to 9:30 in the morning, and it will be in the vestry, which is air conditioned, so there'll be no humidity and nice and cool. And we will continue to have Sunday school and nursery care through the end of July. Today is a favorite service in the life of folks at FCC Natick. It is the West Virginia Work Camp Worship Service. So our service today is an opportunity to hear from folks who just spent a week at the West Virginia Work Camp. After a week of high temps, hard work, and one meaningful connection after another, the group returned home around 10:15 last night, so we are still processing and all sleep-deprived. But we are glad to share with you some of our reflections on the week just passed. As we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your mind, body, and spirit. Deepening your breath, relaxing your shoulders, even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him. They didn't know who he was, so they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light that was once in one place, and at one time is now in all places and at all times. Let us welcome the light." Colin is now going to come forward. This is the mic that is on.
Oh. Good morning, I'm Colin.
Good morning.
Please join me in the call to worship. Your response is God's hands and feet in the world. Here we are to worship.
God's hands and feet in the world.
Here we are to connect and inspire and comfort each other.
God's hands and feet in the world.
Here we are to work together for justice and peace.
God's hands and feet in the world.
Here we are to remember who we are.
God's hands and feet in the world.
Amen. Our opening hymn is "Here I Am, Lord." You are invited to rise in body or in spirit.
Thank you. Our centering prayer begins with a bit of quiet. Take a moment to breathe deeply, feeling the floor beneath your feet, the seat holding you up, fully being here and now. Let us pray.
Gracious and generous God, you are always puttering around our lives, tending to what is wearing out, mending what is broken, enlarging what no longer meets our needs.
You expand the space between yes and no to make room for maybe.
You make openings for forgiveness and beginning again.
Life is not a puzzle to be put together where pieces go missing and the design eludes us.
Life is an experiment where we learn by improvising from what we have instead of regretting what we don't.
Things do not have to stay the same. We are free to choose what matters to us.
We choose you and the path of love.
We choose you and the one who walked more honestly into life than any other. The one who taught us how to pray, saying, O life giver at the heart of all being, holy is your presence. May your empire of grace replace our own, and your delight be fulfilled as this world becomes heaven. Give us our sustenance, one breath at a time, and make us completely forgiving of ourselves and others. Save us from weakness of our will, and deliver us from the power of evil. For all being is yours, all power is yours, all glory is yours, in this moment, in eternity. Amen.
During work camp, we meet people who seem different from us. They live in different parts of the country. Some speak a different language or practice a different religion. But those differences are just on the surface. We are all part of the same human family. We are all children of God. In this sacred space this morning, let's greet our brothers and sisters and siblings of God's with God's peace, and then join together in our song of celebration. God's peace be with you.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 10, verses 1 through 9. After the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go, he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you." These are our sacred stories. May we have the vision and wisdom to live them.
G Jesus describes the kingdom of God over and over throughout the Gospels, using rich imagery that evokes curiosity and wonder. Jesus didn't compare the kingdom of God to an earthly kingdom, one with kings and queens and governments. Instead, he used descriptions that reshaped the imaginations of his followers and helped them to see the world in a new way, a shared community of equals who serve each other. Since the 1970s, the term kingdom has entered theological discourse, encompassing the idea that the coming of the kingdom of God has to do with the coming together of peoples, with no one being excluded and at the expense of no one. This can't happen if we're each trying to do everything alone. Paul reminded the people of Corinth, "All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it." We need all the various gifts of different people to accomplish the coming of God's kingdom. So we can imagine, as Jesus is telling his friends and followers about the kingdom of God, and the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few, he is looking for all the different ways that his followers can be the hands and feet to accomplish the goal of bringing God's sweet justice to this world. Our Massachusetts group did some thinking during our time in West Virginia when we were doing our Bible study together and our conversations around this passage that we used all week long. So we did some imagining about what it might look to be in the employment office of the kingdom of God. So today, we're going to show you some of the things that bubbled up for us in those conversations. So we're going to imagine it together here. Kind of the things, asking some questions, what skills does the kingdom need? What gifts and skills might you bring to help build that kingdom? And when I say you, I mean you and you and you and you, all of you. So be thinking about that. What gifts and skills do you have? What gifts and skills do we need to build that community, that beloved community of the kingdom? One thing we noticed was that it's easier to talk about the gifts we saw in other people than to bring up our own. So we decided to nominate people to this job in the kingdom. So we're going to show you what it might look like in the employment office of the kingdom of God. What skills are they looking for? And let's imagine it together for a few moments. Come on up.
Alright, welcome to KOG Incorporated, the recruitment branch of the Kingdom of God. On behalf of Mr. Colin, I am so glad to welcome you here today to God's Employment Office. As you all know, at this time we are looking to fill some very important openings. We are getting ready to send 70 individuals out into the world to create the Kingdom of God, and you, yes you, might be just who we are looking for. Thank you all for completing the initial paperwork. There is just one more step before we can decide if you are indeed the right people for the job. We have to see if you have the gifts and skills and experience to create the kingdom of God. I'm sorry, do you have a question?
Yes, what is the kingdom of God?
That is an excellent question. Sam, yes, that is an excellent question. Let me just check with Mr. Collin for a second. Yes, that is an excellent question. And just the fact that you asked it confirms for us that you are exactly who we need to create the kingdom of God, because we need curious people who ask questions, brave people who aren't afraid to say when they don't know something. So, Mr. Collin? To answer your question, Sam, the kingdom of God is the way the world is meant to be, a place of justice and peace, where there is enough for all, where everyone belongs and feels cared for, and where everyone knows they are needed and loved just as they are. Okay, we have one laborer for the kingdom of God. Mr. Collin will now hear from the rest of the candidates to determine if you are the right people to create the kingdom of God. Let's start with Stacy.
Oh, I'm not applying for the position.
What do you mean? You're in God's employment office.
No, I'm just here because my son Jake needed a ride. He's the one that's applying. He's an excellent candidate. He's compassionate. He's patient. He is really terrific at making people feel heard. He is great at building bridges and helping build community, making people feel like valued members of the team. I think he's really the best candidate for the job.
Well, that sounds wonderful, Stacy, but we'll get to Jake in just a minute because, Stacy, according to Mr. Collin's records, you are also an applicant, and Mr. Collin is never wrong. So, Stacy, what qualifications do you have to create the kingdom of God? Like driving your son when he needs you?
I got nothing.
What do you mean? You are constantly making sure that those around you are ready and prepared for the world around them, whether it's teaching math or being a mother or going down to work camp time and time again.
Mr. Collin?
Approved.
Oh, two at once. Very efficient, Mr. Collin. Jake, you're in. And Stacy, you are too. Both of you are just what we need to create the kingdom of God. That is three down, 67 to go. Next is Bob. Bob?
I think I may have thought I had a shot at this, but after hearing about Stacy and Jake, I don't think I have what you're looking for. I think I'm going to withdraw my application.
Bob. What the heck are you talking about? You're one of the kindest, most generous people I know, so giving of yourself. I recall one story you told about going into Boston with a friend who needed somebody to sit with him and just be there for him. That was you. And this week at work camp, our homes that we went into, you made them feel very comfortable and loved, and you gave them everything, your heart and your soul. So I believe you are a perfect candidate.
Oh, Mr. Collin. Mr. Collin agrees.
Well, if I'm in, you got to take Jeff. I mean, there's just no question about it. You have to have Jeff.
It's like you're like salt and pepper. We have to have both of
them. Yeah, we're Wonder Twin powers. But I mean, Jeff is like forever, you know, raising funds for charitable causes. He feeds folks on Friday night with the United Way. He's just, you know, every day we bring an extra sandwich so that the neighbor Maverick could have lunch with us. Oh. And Maverick really loves to sit and be with the crew. So you gotta take Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
Oh. Wow.
All right. So by the way, you should take Kaylee. Because Kaylee, ask her about the dog.
Kaylee's on the list.
Well, I don't know if it's a qualification, but I just like helping animals. There was this really skinny dog on our work site and it was really hot. And so a friend and I gave him like a pound of eggs and water.
Caring for creation when you're helping that dog. What do you think, Mr. Collin? See, we create the kingdom of God in so many small, meaningful ways. It's how we live and care for each other.
Oh, it's like when we were so hot and just the sun and the heat was a lot. And then somebody in the work group would come along with this water bottle with a little sprayer on it and spray our faces. Oh, it was so nice, and it was just that little thing that brought such relief and made you feel cared for.
Well, great example of someone healing the sick, making sure they don't get sick from heat stroke in the first place. And Amy, you noticing that is a beautiful practice of gratitude. Seeing what people do and being grateful for it, that is something we need in the kingdom of God. So, Mr. Colin.
And Joe's not here today, but all week long, he kept reminding us to hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. And so I want to nominate Joe for sure. We wouldn't have been as healthy and able to do the work we did without those reminders.
Mr. Colin.
Good hydration.
Well, that is eight laborers. I am so excited about all these people helping to create the kingdom of God. I know, Mr. Colin, we need 62 more, but I feel so sure we have all we need to create the kingdom of God. Look at all these people right here finding ways, big and small, to bring love and justice to the world. I feel sure these people will help build the kingdom of God. In fact, I think they already are. Amen.
Amen.
We are going to keep the kids in today so they can sing with us and hear the stories.
I think it's if I had it. Gail, can you go to the next one? Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, if I had a hammer. And then
if I had a hammer.
And then he. All right, let's try it again.
So a week ago, I had no idea what it meant to take the line, or that Wood was supposed to frown. As a first-timer at West Virginia War Camp, I had lots to learn, but even seasoned participants have new experiences and insights every time they make the trip. So we'll hear from a variety of folks this morning as they share their early reflections of their time at camp. I think, are we beginning with Amy? We begin with Amy.
Hi, I'm Amy Foley. I've probably enjoyed listening to somewhere between 200 and 300 of testimonials like this over the past 30 years being here, listening to the folks coming back from West Virginia and talking. And each description has been so unique and pretty much always has made me cry. supporting this mission via the fundraising and donations that is done here is so sorely needed, and it's been great to participate in that part anyways. But finally, it was my turn to go and actually live it. And it has been an amazing experience. It got me out of my routine and pushed me out of my comfort zone. And it allowed me to see things through a totally different lens. I was part of the awesome group number 2. Our base crew is made up of all first-timers, Reverend Cindy and Bethany, San Van Giel, Taylor, and me. And we were led by the ever-patient and encouraging and skilled Keith Larson, who's from Ohio, and Bruce Bray from Westford, Massachusetts. I found our leaders to be amazing, kind, and skilled. They started us off slowly, teaching us how to set up the work site, and followed with giving us demonstrations about how to use the proper power tools. And I was struck mostly by the kindness that was just shown all around throughout the workday, coupled with the humor and laughter, the open sharing, and the willingness of all of the group to be vulnerable in our discussions and to speak from the heart. Our primary task was to build 2 decks, a front entry and a back stoop. The existing steps were minimal. They were rotted, dangerous, steep, and leading into a slippery mud at the back, which went right towards a creek that was about 10 feet below. When we arrived, we were sweetly welcomed to the trailer home of Crystal Carter and her family, which included 3 other adult and teenage family members, plus several cats and dogs, including newborn puppies. We sweated a lot. It beats me where the term "never let them see you sweat" comes from, because I was sweating with great pride. We survived the heat using iced cloths, water breaks about every 20 to 30 minutes, and a very nice large shade tent. And I became used to the heat as the week went on. It was a great feeling to arrive each morning and find something different at the home. The first day, as a part of the general ambiance, there was a phrase with a swear sprayed on a metal piece near the creek, and a pile of household trash was burning to give us this wonderful aroma on the other side of the dirt road. The second day, the swear was painted over, and there were 2 cans nicely decorating the 2 posts we had installed the day before. And the puppies were starting to crawl around on their bellies. Now, on the third day when we arrived, there were 2 chairs placed on the newly boarded deck. The dogs were now cooling off under the deck that we had built, and some of the flowers that we had pulled up in the local garden had been transplanted to another area. On the fourth day, the near-empty refrigerator that was plugged in and outside the home was moved up onto the deck with some help from our crew. We think that the refrigerator is likely unable to be inside the home because the floor can't support the weight due to the amount of sort of structural lack of integrity of the floor. And we're hopeful that that floor can be replaced as well in the near future. On the fifth day, we found an amazing note from the homeowner, and I just have to quickly pull it up. The note said, "In case I don't get to see you before you leave this evening, thank you so much. Sorry I worked too much. Ugh, work. You guys are a blessing, and the porches and your work are wonderful, fantastic. Hope to get to make it to the dinner this evening. Also, depends on work scheduling. Once again, thank you and God bless each of you. What you do is such a blessing to so many. Thank you, the Carter Clay family." So, as we wrapped up the project, a member of Crystal's family sat on the newly completed deck, listening to the radio, singing along, and it really filled my heart up. He said he never imagined he'd be able to walk out without stepping in mud. The emotions that I had really overflowed when he proceeded to help our team clean up and put the tools away, and then he graciously accepted the food supplies that we had delivered that Sam made sure that we picked up and brought into the home. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Kayla. This is my second year going to work camp. After hearing for my whole life how amazing it would be and how incredible of a week I would have, I had pretty high expectations. But nothing could prepare me for how much love I would feel when I got there. I thought John Denver was just saying words in his song Country Roads, but when I got to West Virginia last year, I realized how much truth there was in that song. Not only how incredibly beautiful the rolling hills and mountains are, but how close to heaven you really feel. There's so much love emanating all around you at work camp, and it's pretty much impossible not to feel God. A few years ago, something happened in my life, and I really lost touch with God. Why would he let that happen? And then I went to work camp last year and felt his presence everywhere, and it really reconnected me with him, and I am so grateful for that. One of my favorite parts of work camp is working with the homeowners, or working for the homeowners, and they are just so grateful every time. We had a little old grandparents, and they would just sit out in their chairs and watch us work, and every time we walked over to them, we have to tell you a story. And tell us a story of how much they felt God in their lives and how grateful they were that we were doing this for them. And it just makes you feel so good to help these people who have unfortunate circumstances and are so grateful that we do this work for them. Another part I'm really grateful for West Virginia is the Bible. We have worship after dinner every day. And last year, I was not excited about that, not excited. I have to sit through this. And then a few days later, I started to enjoy it, and this year, I really enjoyed it. And I was able to listen to what people were saying and really take in what they were saying and grow from just grow in a lot of ways. During that, and it's a really amazing experience, And if you, no matter how old you are or your limitations, I highly recommend going, because it'll be one of the best experiences of your life. And I will be going for as long as I can.
I know that Bob always gets nervous when I step up here. So I promise I will try very hard not to ramble. You know, I've sort of alluded to this metaphor before, but whenever I'm at work camp, I'm reminded of a true symphony and all of the different moving parts that are working together with the only way I can explain it is with God's grace and input and power in our lives, and how we are able to provide such fellowship for each other and for the community. The kinds of community building, like little anecdotes, the job site that I was working on this year, my crew was outside and Bob and Jeff were inside, and then next door we had a crew also working where Sarah Lynn and Kaylee were. And every day we were together shoulder to shoulder sitting on the floor in the air conditioning of one of the living rooms so that we could eat together. And Maverick, who lived across the railroad tracks, was the son of a homeowner who has had work done in the past. Maverick reassured his friend, Gunner, that we were safe to have in the house, we were cool people, and he didn't need to worry. And Maverick came and ate with us every day, and Jeff brought him food and apples, and you know, I've been going to work camp long enough to know Maverick's mom before he was born, and he just, we are part of his experience, his life. We represent in him God's love and hope and faith and all kinds of wonderful things that he might not have the opportunity to experience otherwise regularly. The work site that Jake was on, also, you guys, it was so hot everywhere we were, and some of us were fortunate to have homes where there was a room air conditioner installed, and there was a little girl on Jake's work site who held up a sign in the window, and someone took a picture of it that said, "Jake, come inside, ?" And, you know, the relationships that we build with these families continue, and some of them come to our worship service on Friday, years after they have had our support. The other piece of work camp that for me is phenomenal is getting to know David better, getting to know Bruce's son Joe, getting to know Kayla and Kaylee and Catherine and Sam and Colin and all of the youth who, by the way, parents, your kids rock. And no matter how old they get, even mine, no parent ever tires of hearing how awesome their children are. And your kids are fantastic, and I hope that you feel so proud of them, because what they're doing is life-changing. That's all I have to say.
We'll also try to keep this brief. My first year, check. My first year in West Virginia, do what you do. Hey, everybody. That better? My first year in West Virginia, I was about Colin's age. I was a little bit older. So at 27, I'm finding myself able to reflect a little bit more about just how much work goes into this trip, not just from us, but from everyone in the congregation. I remember Gene Sniffen gave us a health talk on my first trip down, making sure we were safe and knew what to look out for. Doug and Sarah Hanna, I have wonderful memories with your son Andrew from our first trip down. I was lucky enough to have Eric Carricker as a crew leader 1 year. And those are just a few. I know I'm missing plenty, but this trip has become a tenet of my life. And however long or short I continue to go, it will remain that way. So
thank you to everyone involved.
Hi. I was kind of forced to do this last minute, so I'm speaking from the heart. This trip means so much to me, and everything, even the little things like people just saying hi to you in the morning, or like, I don't know. It just means a lot. If you can, I would recommend you go on the trip because it means a lot. Yeah.
So on my last day, I joined a different crew, and it was really wonderful to work with different people and see a different site and all of that, and we were busy working, trying to finish up a front porch on Ada's house, and a truck pulled up in front of the house, and it wasn't on the main road, it was off on a side road, and this truck pulls up, and this guy is gesturing wildly for me to come over and to talk to him. And so it wasn't one of our work camp people, but I went over to the truck and I introduced myself and he introduced himself. His name was Danny Ferguson and he had his son Drake in the back of the truck. It was a back seat, not in the bed. Drake was about 12. And Danny said, first he asked, are you a part of the youth that come here to West Virginia to work on people's homes? And I said, yes, we are. We're from all over the place, but yes, we're with the Cabell Lincoln Work Camp. And he said, well, I just want to tell you, I've seen you year after year, and it means a lot. We're down here in West Virginia. And we feel forgotten. People don't see us. But you see us. Thank you. And he gave me some money and said, please, take these kids and get them something cold to drink on your way back to your camp. So we did. One of the leaders took the kids to get some ice cream at the end. But I thought this guy wasn't somebody who had a home that we worked on. He had a really nice truck. But he saw us too, right? He knew how important it was for all of his neighbors and family and friends to know that they were seen, that they were known, and that we care. So thank you for sending us. Thank you for supporting this work. And know that it goes beyond just fixing some porches or floors or toilets or whatever we do. It's not just the underpinning on a trailer home. It is so much more. So I hope that we can continue this work to go to West Virginia to continue to show God's love in the world because love works.
So I'm the marked end of, adjust. I'm loud enough without it, but I'm the end marker of our testimonial section, so the end is near. As you can see, if you got blocked tear ducts, go to West Virginia. It's a good way to get them cleared out. it's kind of funny. I love to sing. I'm having a hard time singing these days because I start getting choked up and teary-eyed, and my chin quivers. And so it is a very emotional experience to go down to West Virginia. You meet amazing people from across the country that are campers that are helping people. You meet amazing homeowners that are struggling to kind of make their life better. And for me, the big thing is watching the youth grow up. So my son David, this is his second trip down, third, can't count. In the beginning, I'm watching out for him. He's at the point he's watching out for me. So in the day one, or middle of day one, his job was busting up a concrete slab so they could put down a proper porch in a safe way, because they had to kind of change the grade a little bit. And I knew he had to bust up this concrete slab, him and another big guy. And I'm like, he's going to be wiped out. So about 2:33 o'clock, my phone rings. And amazingly, I had cell reception in one spot in the kitchen. And if I moved away, I couldn't. And so he calls me up, and he's like, hey, I'm done for the day. Where are you? I'll come help. Right? So there were two or three times where he was able to come to my site and look out for me. And really meant a lot to have him not want to just hang out by the pool and do stuff. He wanted to come and help me to make sure that my jobs got done, right? So I really, my hat's off to David for that. Hats off to Kaylee. The transition from last year's scared little girl to the more confident woman that you're becoming was amazing to watch. You just felt like you had a much better camp experience, and it's great to see the kids blossom as they grow with this camp experience. So I want to close by saying, while we give by going, there are a lot of people in this church that go by giving, and we very much appreciate your generosity in supporting our dinners, supporting our donation fund requests. Without your help, we couldn't make it happen. So thank you very much for your support for this activity. It is vitally important. It's a great opportunity for the youth to really spread their wings and fly. So thank you for presenting them with that opportunity.
Hi, I'm Jean Sniffen. I've never been to West Virginia, but my good friend here, Lorraine Oakes, who's not a teenager, was one of the first groups that ever went, and I think she was greatly changed. I mean, she's one of my best friends, and she's just even better.
So, and Jean, where's my notebook? Jean is giving us a great example of, we've talked a lot about the different ways in which people are impacted, the work on the homes, and connecting with people from West Virginia, and connecting with people from around the country who've come to do the work camp together. But the other connection that we maybe haven't talked about quite as much, though I think has been evident, is the way in which people from a local church or a region get connected to each other in ways that are profound and transformative. So the kingdom of God is like a group text on a work camp, created so people can give each other important information, share photos, and learn slang like bruh. And then it turns out someone's home number is on the list, so someone goes and creates a new group text to make sure everyone gets whatever good news is being shared. And the kingdom of God is like the half hour in an IHOP yelling out numbers to add names to the group text so you actually know who is posting and replying because you care about each one individually. And then it turns out someone is missing from the list, so you go and create another group text to make sure all are included in the kingdom of God.
And you know it's the kingdom of God because somehow the youth don't take all the adults' phones away and throw them out the van window so they can't make any more group text lists. Jesus saw evidence of the kingdom of God all around, and he kept pointing it out to those who would listen, promising again and again that God's kingdom was near. We don't have to go to West Virginia to see it. We just need to pay attention. Amen. Community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share your prayers aloud. All are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org, and we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list and the bulletin. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? Sarah Beth. It's so great to hear two joys from Sarah Beth's extended family, especially her mom, who she's been so worried about, who's just been on such an up and down health-wise, that is now on an up, and particularly was able to celebrate with family as you mark your nephew's wedding. So congratulations. It must be such a load off, yeah. Other joys. Sarah. Sarah is celebrating the joys of getting to hear the reflections from work camp year after year and how powerful that is. Yeah. Bob. You know, no group trip is complete without some ups and downs and an opportunity to be grateful for the people in your group who have medical skill and the medical skill locally. And so we definitely experienced that at work camp this year. And we're so grateful that everybody made it back together and doing well. And we're so grateful to everybody who made that happen. Doug, I can't remember anybody's name this morning, just so you know, so, Doug. So, of course, the kudos are to Randall, who put the spiritual doodling page in there. And one of the things that our young people, it's funny, I'd almost said to Randall, should we put a mandala on there? And our young people were doing a lot of meditative coloring on the trip. So it just feels particularly meaningful that there's that spiritual doodling page in the bulletin today. Thank you, Randall. Randall, did you have a joy you would like to share?
Thank you.
I was so delighted this past week to go check something on Facebook and see a notice that Natick's Juneteenth had been moved inside to the Common Street Spiritual Center and First Congregational Church of Natick. I was so overjoyed, first of all, that I knew nothing about it, right? That a bunch of people would be like, there is something that needs to be done. We're going to do it. We're going to make it happen. And I'm only hearing now about like all the people who were involved in that, and just that was made possible by the renovation work that was done and by the leadership that we see again and again in this community and by the recognition that the purpose of this building is to do God's ministry, is to serve the community. And I'm just so delighted and so grateful for everybody who made that happen. Yeah, yeah. Other joys today. I feel like I missed a Bob. Years ago today, Bob and Jean Sniffen stood in front of family and friends in the presence of God and promised to love each other no matter what may come. They have not only loved each other, but been an example of love in the world. Congratulations to you both. Declan. One of the things that folks discovered this week is I have no sense of geography. Declan has a total understanding of the entire geography of our country. And I think what we can look forward to is the day Declan is standing up here sharing the stories that he has to share from going to West Virginia. And he is going to be awesome at singing If I Had a Hammer. I feel so confident. Dee Dee. So, Beth, I think we're about to have a new member of the kids' choir. So, congratulations, Declan, on these big moments in your life. We are so glad to be part of them as your church family. Now we're going to hear the big moment that's going on in Dee Dee's life. Dee Dee. You must. So we are celebrating that Kristen and Lane's daughter Alicia is getting married on Friday, and her fairy godmother Dee Dee, you know, has no doubt been a source of joy and guidance in her life. Kristen, we celebrate with you and with Lane and with the whole family, and we are absolutely committed to someone lifting up that joy next week. Be thinking of you. Gail, do you have any joys? No joys. I think I have all my joys.
I have one.
Hank, oh, do you have a Scoopapalooza joy?
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact. First of all, I want to thank all the volunteers that came from the church to help us out. It was a fabulous event. Scoopapalooza, it's been our 11th year for the Charles River Rotary Club. And it was, I think, the biggest we've had. And so I want to thank everybody that came. And I'm sure that I do recognize several people that were there, even from up here. but thanks again, and thanks for the church for helping out as much as you can.
So we celebrate the Scoopapalooza event both as a fundraiser and as a community event, and we celebrate Hank and June for being a key part of making it happen in the community. Doug. So for those on site, there is ice cream in the freezer. Are you suggesting they just bring a spoon, or do we have a strategy? Oh, we're gonna enjoy it all summer long. Okay, so Doug knows where it is. What concerns do you bring to this place today? Yeah, Gretchen. Okay, so two things going on. So it's your Uncle Donald, who has just come home from the hospital battling an infection. So prayers for him as his body recovers from the infection and also his whole being recovers from time in the hospital. And Eileen, am I saying her name right? Eileen, who we've been praying for, is not doing well again. So prayers for her and prayers for you, Gretchen, as you're holding all these different people and these different worries in your heart. Yeah, thanks. Stacy. So former work campers might know Carol from Pembroke, who's dealt with cancer, several different types of cancer over the years. She's currently dealing with it again. She was too weak to keep going through treatment, so was sent home to hopefully get stronger. And it's not clear what the outcome is going to be. So we're holding her and her family and all who know her in our prayers that most of all she would feel peace and comfort and connection and have as many good days as possible for as long as she has. Thanks, Stacy. Sarah Lynn? Jake is heading the Western expansion to Western Mass. See, Sarah Lynn, I know a West. I know that it's Western Mass. Jake, I think this is a joy. We are celebrating this new job and this big move, and especially that you're able to be here today when you're moving today and starting your job tomorrow, and may this job, we know you will be a blessing to them. May the job also be a blessing to you. Yeah, Kirsten. We're holding Kirsten's sister's mother-in-law in our prayers. So she had hip surgery, which went okay, but then an infection developed, which has made everything just worse and harder. So prayers for that healing there. Thanks, Kirsten. Was there another? Yeah, Bob. Yeah, and we know that there were lots of people who applied for jobs from the West Virginia work camp this year that we weren't able to help. So there's both the prayers that they might be able to get some help next year and that more people will go to work camp, we'll be able to help more families and the ripples will just go out. Thanks, Bob. Yeah, Beth. Prayers of healing for Shay's dad. Unexpected heart attack, still in the ICU a week later. So we know how hard it is to be in that space. So we hold Shay as well as their dad in our prayers. Gail?
Yes, earlier in the week we had heard from Janet Levesque, who was reminding us to keep...
I've got that one.
You so do? Right.
Yeah, let me just say it. So I'll save you that. So we're holding in our prayers the family of Rodney Riviello. Some of you might have seen this in the news. A man currently living in Plymouth who went missing, 69 years old, with dementia. He was found. He had died. So this is a hard loss on so many different levels, between the memory loss and the young, him being young and had been released from the hospital without a plan. So Janet worked with his daughter, Michelle. I know Michelle as well from Boxborough. So we're holding that family in our prayers. Any others up there, Gail? Okay. So we hold in our prayers Jeff and his daughter. Jeff's grand dog, Billie Jean, has been diagnosed with an aggressive cancer, and this is, you know, the center of her life. So we are holding Jeff's daughter in our prayers as they have as much good time as they can with Billie Jean, and we hold Jeff in our prayers as well, and glad you're now home and can help your daughter. Linda. Friday. Sue M. is having a procedure this coming Friday, and she is inviting prayers for peace. I missed the second thing. Peace and calm, right? Peace and calm. As she heads in for this procedure on Friday, we hold her in our prayers, as well as medical personnel who'll be there with her. Thanks, Linda. Okay, did I get them all? Let us be together in prayer. You put so much into our hands, O God. So much creativity, so much possibility, so much responsibility. And sometimes, to our surprise, our hands work together, bringing your power of love into the world. And we are given so much strength, so much hope, so much joy. Let our hands be overflowing with you today, overflowing with your compassion, overflowing with your generosity, overflowing with your peace. Amen.
Alleluia, 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 Alleluia.
After hearing those stories, are you ready to pack up and go on a trip to create the beloved community in the world?
Yes.
Woo! Okay, that group was loudest. Well, I'm sorry to say there are 356 days until we leave for next year's West Virginia Work Camp, because I can do that math. For those on site this morning, there's a trip we can make that is so much closer to home, but still helps to create God's kingdom on earth. Today is our first Pantry Parade. Will be journeying across Natick Common to stock the shelves of the Common Good Mini Pantry. After worship, the outreach team will get us organized in the vestry. Then we will celebrate our way over to the mini pantry to stock the shelves. If you have donations with you in the sanctuary this morning, you can bring them forward to the basket during the offering. We're going to parade once each month this summer, and every Sunday that we have one of our little mini pantry donation baskets, all summer long, we're going to have the baskets there, except we're going to be in the vestry. Anyway, baskets, vestry, bring food with you to worship once a month parade. Especially to help us remember those neighbors who are hungry in the summer, when kids who get fed often two meals a day at school aren't getting fed anymore. This is a particularly hard time for families. All of this is made possible only by your generosity, not only because of the cereal and pasta and tuna that you add to the basket, it's also your financial gifts that the outreach team use for shopping when supplies are particularly low. So as we participate in the spiritual discipline of the morning offering, may we imagine the meals our neighbors will make with the food we share. Thank you for the generosity that makes it possible.
Thank you.
God of abundance, bless these gifts and especially the ways in which they will be put to work in your world. Amen. Amen. We have a closing hymn. I don't remember what it is.
Go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Honor all persons. Honor all creation. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the love of God, the light of Christ, and the power of communion of that Spirit be with us all. Go in peace. Amen.